I see it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'll get into it. What's up, toasters? Today is the Toasty Podcast. It's getting wild out here, and we have a very special guest on. His name is Michael, and he wants to tell us a little bit about his life and, well, Black Lives Matter about as well. So let's get toasty.
Let's do it.
Here's the article he had, Matt. So this article he was in, basically they interviewed him after they were on the what's the bridge called?
Margaret Hill Bridge
in Dallas, right? Mm-hmm. After the protests, and basically, like, it was when they got on the bridge, they were protesting, and then the policemen, I guess, were on both sides.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can break down the whole situation.
Sure.
You know, we gathered in front of the courthouse, I believe, earlier during the day. The idea was they had set a curfew, obviously, in the previous days from the protests.
Like the mayor of Dallas?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a curfew, obviously, that we should be out of the area by a certain time. But the area they were in was not covered by the curfew. So we were out of the curfew zones, and we protested. And everything peacefully. They had I don't know who it was, but it wasn't Dallas police.
Yeah.
They had them lined up across the
it
street.
It wasn't Dallas police?
No. You know, they had outside help around that time.
Okay.
Interesting.
So they had them lined up across the street from us. And they were just there, I'd say 30, 45 minutes, making sure nothing got out of hand.
Sure.
And nothing did get out of hand. And we stayed there for maybe an hour to 2 hours. Then... we're about to march and protest. And the question is, obviously, where are we going to go? We're not, obviously, don't want to go into any areas that are within the curfew zone.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we took the route that we took. And throughout the entire journey, I should say, nobody encountered the police.
Well, who was, like, saying, like, okay, we're going to, you know, go down this way or that way or whatever? Was it?
So it was led by the Next Generation Action Network, I believe. That's who organized that protest.
Okay.
I don't know much about them. I'm not sure.
I don't know much about them either.
Isn't that Al Sharpton's organization?
What's his name?
National Action Network?
Next Generation?
I don't know.
Action Network.
Next Gen Action Network. I don't know.
Dude, it's so hard typing with this freaking mic around. All right. There's a home. Let's just check that out. Why not?
Yes, this page right here. So they,
interesting.
They've existed. I don't know for how long. I didn't look for myself.
To cultivate young leaders driven towards the eradication of social injustice through social, educational, civil, human, and community reform. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they've existed for several years, and my roommate was following. You know, because we had been talking about protesting. We've been talking about protesting back as far as 2015.
Mm-hmm.
We know someone that lost their life to police brutality, and mm-hmm. I can talk about that later.
Okay.
But, with this incident, you know, that's who it's led by. So a credible organization, I would say, as far as just, you know, you're reading the comments, people are like, we're going here. Seems pretty coordinated.
Right? Yeah, of course.
And also, nobody's just going out there with the intention to be ignorant.
Well, I mean, it said you guys seems like
transparently coordinated.
Yeah.
Too. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like subversive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They coordinated with the police department as far as what we were going to do that night and all. So, you know, that's why I was even felt safe being out there,
I should say. Yeah.
We protested, then we marched. Nobody made any contact with the police. Now, this is where the action happens. I don't know the road names, but we're walking straight, and the highway, Margaret Hunt Bridge, is, you know, it's the left from wherever we were walking. And right here on the right side, there's a police convoy. They might have been in a... I don't know what they had. It was heavy. It was an armored truck.
It's dark
thing,
at this
basically.
Point, though, right?
I mean, yeah,
you guys, yeah
exactly.
It's like 10 p.m. or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all they're saying is, don't engage the police. Don't engage the police. Keep it moving. And traffic was stopped. We had the pathway. Traffic was stopped on the bridge, even. We had the, they literally gave us the pathway to go onto the bridge.
Okay.
Everybody gets onto the bridge.
Uh-huh.
And then next thing you know, we see them going, right? We see them, you know, and I don't know. It seemed like things weren't planned, I should say. But
on which side?
On the police side.
Okay, that's okay.
But,
right.
But literally, once they saw the opportunity, they send police, and you can see the sirens just going from the, coming to meet us from the opposite side, right? And still peacefully marching.
Yeah.
Peacefully marching. They're telling you to stop, but nobody's doing anything. So people are still just walking, proceeding forward.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, the tear gas starts.
Okay.
Pepper spray, whatever. People start getting hit.
Yeah.
People start running. I had a shirt tied around my face. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but then I... You inhale it too, and you're like, shit, it's retreat.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
And then,
it's intense,
you know,
man.
Yeah.
Everybody's going that way. And then next thing you know, behind us, the police as well. They had came in right behind us and closed off so nobody could go back down that bridge.
Okay.
So
what? Right now you're telling me there was not a way to get out?
Yes, at all. I mean, some people took, there's a stair on that bridge. Some people took the stair down.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, but you're not going to go. I'm pretty sure they had that. They were down there, too, for whoever came down that. But, you know, then it's just, it's an intimidating situation.
Of course.
I think I mentioned that in there.
I mean, I don't know what their plan is. Like, as far as, like, what are they going to do? Okay, they're obviously trying to keep you from being there, fine. But then they don't give you a way out. So are they going to arrest you? Because that obviously didn't happen, right? For you specifically, I don't know about. There were arrests, right? But I don't know.
There was, from what I read, there was one person that was. They found a gun in their bag, but the gun was legal, and she had the paperwork with her.
Right,
and the facts came out after. That was the only.
The facts came out after. There's always facts coming out after for everything, both sides.
It was the only. That was the only. I guess thing that happened really. Outside of that, let's say they were, you know, all you see is lights in your face, somebody on the microphone, and then the individual police officers, they're yelling at you, and they're just closing in, like in tactical manner. And all you hear is, put your hands up, get on the ground. And, you know, if one person in the crowd, if you do... If anybody made any type of sudden movement or anything, Lord knows what could have happened.
I was gonna say, who knows what's going to
happen? That is a good point. Like, if you don't, I don't know, because they're already using force. Mm-hmm. So what happens at that point?
Yeah, one person, it's insane, one person, man. In that case, and you can hear people in the crowds. There are kids around us. There were kids out there in that protest.
What? Okay. How old are these kids?
Yeah.
Kids.
Why are these kids there?
They shouldn't be there. Yeah, but, you know, like I said, it's a credible organization
that's
putting this together.
Yeah, yes, it is.
The people
It's like the same idea. Okay, this isn't the same idea. I can't say the same idea. But it's like whenever you're in a theater and you're watching this gory horror movie and you have like this kid back there crying and you're like, why the hell is a kid in this theater?
I agree. That's fair comparison. Fair comparison.
Because, I mean,
just don't believe kids should be involved in politics. You know what I mean? Like, keep your kids out of it until they get to be like maybe like
this is
15,
another topic.
16.
And I can almost agree.
Start driving
because
politics doesn't matter until they can vote.
Okay, politics are becoming a thing that's almost like drinking alcohol or doing drugs or something like that. It is changing people's perception of things and changing people's minds.
Yeah.
And at 16-year-old may not have the right mind to handle that.
But in today's society, also, I don't think that you can stop it.
Because why? Social media?
Yeah,
bro,
definitely.
The social freaking dilemma, dude. I'm telling you, man.
It is. Man. I mean, and we're just increasingly going more into the social environment, I should say.
Okay, so back to what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. So you're here, you're on the ground, trapped
in. You're a good storyteller, too, so I'm like in it there. I'm like, everything's dark around me.
Bro, tell me this story.
So, you know, I think I'm past the worst part. But then, we're on the ground, right? I'm on FaceTime. I'm in the group message with them. And I'm like, and what the officers are telling us with our engagement with them is that you guys are being arrested for impeding a highway.
They were telling you this?
Yes.
Like all you guys?
Yeah.
For impeding a highway?
Yes.
Okay, so what does that even mean?
They directed.
That means like you're blocking traffic?
Yeah. Yes. And
but you just said there's a pathway and there's you're going up there? Okay, see, so like I was talking about, or we talked about earlier, kind of how we are. Like we just got that out of the way. I told him like you're a libertarian and I'm like how I am. Because we're talking about government, right? And government is...
just the worst.
It's becoming more and more distrusting. And my thing is here, having someone on the ground that knew what happened and was there, like... It's just, it's fishy. Mm-hmm. Even if you have fishy things about Black Lives Matter or the organization that you might see or whatever, the creators or whoever, I don't know, all the stuff you might hear, there's still the other side of it is the police, the policeman side of it. That they gave you a pathway and then they just blocked it off and then they arrested you for impeding the highway.
Well, no. Or they were going they told to arrest us. You. They told us that, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're in the social age, like we mentioned. I have YouTube TV on my phone. We pulled up the news that day. We're on it.
Yeah.
People were telling us first, obviously.
Dude, you're on the news.
They're telling us. They're saying that they're not going to arrest you. They're just detaining you and letting you go.
The news article said that?
Live news.
Oh, live news. Okay.
Yeah, live news at this point. And I pull it up myself, and they are saying that as well. But as far as what we heard from them...
Well, see, and that's what I was about to say. I was about to say, is it just intimidation? Like, what are they doing?
Yeah, it could be intimidation, or it could be an honest miscommunication on the cop's line.
Miscommunication?
And the chief, maybe sergeant's like, it doesn't seem coordinated.
Yeah.
But at that, and like I mentioned, they had outside enforcement as well. So I don't know where the directions are coming from, instructions, who has authority to tell them to do what, because the mayor mentioned that she told them not to. I don't remember what she. It was basically saying that she instructed them not to use tear gas, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But they did.
Then do you believe? I mean, and then do you believe the mayor? Right.
It doesn't matter at this point.
You're right. I mean, it doesn't. Like, I'm just talking about how obviously miscommunication.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
I
had a follow up with them. I'm like, we deserve to know where the miscommunication came into effect.
That's
exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. There you go.
You know, like we know that there was outside enforcement involved. Definitely.
Sure.
Whatever it was, National Guard, but. And if she's saying that she didn't tell them to use tear gas, who gave the instruction, and what are the consequences going to be for that?
Mm-hmm. If it was Homeland Security, then they can do that kind of stuff, and doesn't matter what the mayor does. Doesn't matter what the local authorities do.
They can do whatever they want. They're separate.
Legally wise.
Exactly. Federal government can do
that. And that's the thing, say it. There's nothing that anybody can do about that. But as far as that being addressed, I don't believe it happened. And
it's crazy, man.
So they took our names down, then they put everybody into vans, about 8 people each, I'd say.
And you're in that
us,
too.
Yeah, took us back to where we started basically, and then let us go from there.
Wow.
So it just seems like a big show.
It was a big intimidation factor if you're thinking about going out to protest these next couple of days.
Tell me this. So you were in that protest. Now, were there like bricks downtown Dallas and stuff like that? Was
not
that a thing?
We saw.
Okay, like because I heard pallets being whatever.
I saw that stuff too.
I didn't watch the local news honestly about Dallas, but how are people dressed in the group that you were in and stuff like that?
Mostly normal. So you know we're in the pandemic and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So
of course,
I had a shirt. I didn't have a mask that I could wear at the time, I'd say, or one that you hadn't planned that you were going to shot with rubber bullets.
Well, you're
or something,
also outside, so yeah, you're
yeah.
right, yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, I had sweats on,
yeah.
I had a long sleeve shirt on, and I had a shirt tied around my
I think what he's asking though is like, you know how Antifa right now is like all black and all that stuff, right?
People wearing helmets and gas masks and stuff.
My problem with that is there's not a differentiating factor really. It's just all black clothing.
Exactly.
It's like, okay, well,
that's the only
thing. Now here's what I can say. The differentiating factor might be like
what you're actually doing.
Yeah, I was going to say the actions.
Exactly, your actions and the amount of like, This is going to sound stupid. The amount of black clothing. Like, because Antifa doesn't just wear a t-shirt and black completely. Pants. They wear a black t-shirt, black jacket on top of that. They could be in freaking L.A. and they're wearing a damn jacket. What are you doing? They could wear a black mask on top of black beanie, black whatever. Everything, literally everything, and they're just piling it on. Maybe that could help, like a determining factor or whatever, but I don't know. The actions is obviously the main thing.
Yeah, that's the main
thing. But it's bleeding into, you know, your protest or your
that's
cause.
That's what sucks about all this is that whereas there's legitimate causes out there for protest, it all gets, by both sides, it all gets bled into the same group.
And I think it's pretty apparent, like to us especially, the way we are with government, police reform is obviously necessary. It's pretty clear.
Really for a long time.
It's been a while we've had anything change there.
Yeah.
You guys were talking about 60s and whatever with Black Panthers and stuff. Yeah. Like it's,
I mean, I've had personal experiences growing up with cops that just weren't trained properly in my family.
What?
That had nothing to do with race, obviously.
You're the co-host. I don't even know that shit.
Well, I mean, it's just a detail I haven't shared very often because it just doesn't come up in normal conversation. But there was an incident where police were called to my house because, let's just say someone was in trouble. And it wasn't like a party or anything. I was probably like 8 or 9. Okay. Super young. And me and my brother, who's about 2 years older than me, were just playing N64 in the family room. And it was no parents were home. I'll say that. And next thing I know, I'm just playing video games, playing probably Super Smash Bros. Or something. Mm-hmm. Just chilling, hanging out. And next thing I know, we are surrounded. My house is completely surrounded by police. Mm-hmm. Like, guns drawn police.
You're home alone with your brother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what happened?
Yeah. And long story short...
Wait, where is this at?
This is my house growing up.
Where is that at?
Willow Park, which is like 30 miles west of here.
Oh, okay.
So, not too far. Alito.
Oh, shoot, really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah, Alito?
Yeah, this is Willow Park Police. Yeah, they come out.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I'm just saying, long story short, they were like vastly undertrained to handle the situation, whereas a social worker could have come in, no guns necessary.
Okay, so they were there because you were home alone?
No, it was a different reason.
All right.
But long story short, a social worker could have handled that situation with one, you know, officer present in the background just in case, you know.
Yeah.
And it would have been game over.
That's a good point. I mean, they don't know what they're...
But there was, I'm talking like 15 officers in my house.
Okay, so why?
Guns drawn. I'd rather not say. But...
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but it was completely... Let's just say it was completely 1,000% unnecessary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, can all take a guess, but...
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
Nothing nefarious. Well, I'll just say it was nothing nefarious.
Yeah, yeah. With that being said, what brought you to the protest? Like, what... It's pretty obvious. I just mean, like, you know, explain, like, your story kind of thing. Get into, you know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, and this happened years before any of this recent stuff. I believe it was 2015. We could Google it right now.
Well, and you grew up here in DFW.
In Arlington, yeah.
In Arlington.
Specifically Arlington. You could Google Christian Taylor and just... What happened basically is if you guys are familiar with the story, it's when he drove his car into the dealership window, ended up in the dealership, and he was jumping on top of cars.
This
he
is
was
the
under
athlete?
The influence. Yes. He was under the influence, and that happened. He drove his car into the dealership, and, you know, he was jumping around on cars and everything. Right. So, you know, the cops get called to the situation, mm-hmm. right? Security guard sees it on the camera, calls the cops. They're at the scene at this point. When the facts came out, the article says that...
Oh, this is here. Oh, shoot. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry. I was trying to search it and didn't even...
Yeah. All right. So the cops show up to, you know, the scene, and the sergeant and lead in this case tells the officer that shot him not to shoot, specifically. Told him not to shoot. But guess what happened? He deployed his taser. He's under drugs. He's under the influence. And, you know, it doesn't, the taser doesn't take him down. Mm-hmm. But there's, I believe, six cops in this case. Literally the next option was to shoot him, and he died.
All right, let's take a look at this real quick.
But then even, I mean, I can finish off the story real quick.
All right,
but then
even
going forward, right? And this is what we're saying when the system just needs reform. The cop that shot him after getting orders from his sergeant not to shoot, guess what? Nothing happened to him. If you're told by your...
So that you're saying he completely, like, in that point, you would say he disobeyed orders.
Yes, mm-hmm. Disobeyed orders. Pretty, sure.
That's exactly what it would be. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's a black and white scenario.
Yes.
He disobeyed orders.
Disobeyed orders, yeah. And someone ended up dead in the situation.
Right, which can't happen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But if anything, they could have tackled him all together and arrested him. He'll wake up the next day, realize he did something wrong, and legally pay for what he did.
And he wasn't armed or anything?
No, he wasn't armed.
What, do you know what he was under the influence of?
It says psychedelic drugs, but I don't know. That's what the news article says. It says LSD, effects of LSD or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The synthetic drug found in Taylor's system was 251-NBOM little e.
Yeah. So, you know, back then that happened, right? And we're freshly out of high school. You're still young, really. And as far as processing it, it was a very sad moment. And, you know,
this guy was 19.
Yeah. Hmm. Very sad, just like gloomy. And, you know, I ran track. Also, the reason it's so personal is because I ran track with this guy. And he lived literally one street over from me. I ran track with him. I ran the 4x2 with him specifically. So I was handing the baton to him like on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Knew the guy, just a joyful soul, I would say. And to know that that's how he went out and nothing was done about it, right? Fast forward to seeing that video. I wake up in the morning and I'm laying in bed.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, we're still going to the office. So,
right.
Like, it was just really quick. And I see the video and it's just so messed up. Like, so messed up. Even if he was under the influence of whatever he was under the influence of, which are some of the stories that have been coming out as far as George Floyd.
Mm.
You know, even if he was under the influence of whatever, he was detained in that situation, right? Already. Mm-hmm.
I get that. He was already detained.
Yes, he was already detained.
There's no reason to keep... Right.
Yeah.
Because I guess some of the things you're seeing now are of cases where they, you know, are breaking detainment or they're, you know, pushing through the cops or whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just something against the cop. And they may even be armed or something like that.
Yeah.
But this scenario you're talking about, it sounds like he wasn't even armed.
He wasn't
and
armed.
And he had a tase on him.
Yeah.
He was already down or whatever. And
well, he got tased and, you know, he didn't, yeah. Nothing happened.
Because he was on drugs.
There were other ways to detain somebody.
No, of course. Right.
But
he wasn't running at the cop or anything.
I mean, I think it said that he took steps towards the cop.
Okay.
But your life's not in danger.
Right.
Right. George Floyd was like claustrophobic and couldn't stand being in. I don't think he could stand being in handcuffs. I think that was the main thing. Like being in handcuffs is extremely restrictive.
Well, and then if you're
if you're claustrophobic, yeah. That can make you freak out and all
no,
sorts of
yeah, it can. But also,
ways.
you're multiplying it if you're under the influence of anything. I would
absolutely.
Think, right?
Yeah,
that makes sense. He also was on like three different things, and it was like insane how much drugs he had in the system. I guess right,
a high tolerance. Let's just say
right, but I don't know if they were because I guess I heard some that he could have died anyway from that. I don't know. Yeah. Not, I'm not saying he
it's
did.
Not,
obviously,
not,
it's not an excuse at all.
Yeah,
right. That's not what I'm saying.
It's just,
but this story, that's ridiculous, and it hit super close to home. Obviously,
yeah. And then you know, there's a I don't know how long it was even after. There's a guy in Atlanta that the cop. That video came out as well, 19 minutes, mm-hmm. I believe. They have a whole conversation. The guy's clearly under the influence. He's clearly drunk.
Yeah.
Clearly drunk.
Right.
You know, so either like, you know, if you watch that video, you can tell. They didn't even have to go 10 minutes. They didn't have to go 5 minutes. You could tell that the guy is drunk. arrest him at that point, but kept on carrying on the conversation, let him have the opportunity to say, I'll go home right now. I'll call my girl to come pick me up, blah, 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 blah. You know, and it's a casual conversation. I'm pretty sure for him, for the guy that got shot, it made it feel like personal, okay, this cop is going to understand. And the guy's under the influence. The next thing you know, he's telling him that he's going to get arrested. Mm-hmm. And the guy freaks out, takes off, right?
Yeah.
Never approached the cops. They tried to detain him, and he broke out of it and ran away from them completely.
Yeah.
How many blocks could he make it before running out of air and freaking falling on the ground and passing out or something, you know? Never went towards them or anything, and they just literally shot him down. There's that incident as well.
Well, he did tase him.
Well, okay, yeah, he took the taser.
Which is considered a lethal weapon in that state, and so that's why it was justified.
But, I mean...
Legally, it was a justified shooting.
Yeah, legally...
Whether the law should be changed...
is a different question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, so you were
still, the guy ran away. A taser legally is considered lethal in that state. But if you shoot me with a taser right now, most likely I'm not gonna die.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
So, you know, it's a case of that would be a regular, you can charge him like you charge anybody else, basically.
Yeah.
Get the guy, charge him just like anybody else.
Yeah, he'll face his consequences. My main thing is seeing these incidents that happen and mm-hmm. Not knowing, you know, how many more are out there kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
The other thing I would like to add, like, I don't go looking for these things, obviously, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. I honestly try to stay out of the news for the most part if I can, unless mm-hmm. I'm talking to a guest that, you know, has something to bring, you know, to the mm-hmm. table. Mm-hmm. But I don't look for incidents like that.
Yeah.
And so I don't see how many people are the cops not trained. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From two white kids in Aledo to, you know what I mean, to what's happening now.
Yeah.
Against black guys, right? Against the color. I don't see like where there's not any coverage mm-hmm. of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I'd like to ask Matt, since he's a, you know, political, he's well versed in political science.
Yeah, yeah, he's the political guy.
Could
go ahead.
Tell me what the process of becoming a police officer is.
So you go through a series of tests. I'm not a pro at this,
yeah,
for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
I have a couple
surface
friends.
Level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you go through a few exams, entry-level exams, basically mm-hmm. high school level, reading, writing, math, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Then you go through a psychological exam. I know a friend of mine who's a very level-headed guy, really down to earth, mm-hmm. but he's had marital problems, has a lot of anger issues towards his ex-wife for, let's just say, very good reasons.
Mm-hmm. What? Okay,
and
he
failed the psychological exam probably because he was very honest about, I'm guessing, about how angry he was towards his ex-wife and mm-hmm. didn't get into even being a cadet.
Where is this at?
What is this, Fort Worth PDs? What he applied to?
Because what I'll say is it's all locally based, and so every police department
is
will be.
Different ways to get, become a police officer. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But there's different standards for different cities. And
for the most part, though, that's about how it goes, I would say.
All sorts of stuff, yeah.
And,
of course, there's so many different jurisdictions, and there's the Metropolitan Police, there's state police, there's...
Now, as far as, like, training, though, where does that come in, right?
So
you
it
have...
depends on... State troopers are highly trained.
You get all the testing done, and then your friend...
It depends on the municipality too.
Okay, I wonder how long.
Obviously,
they train.
Willow Park. Willow Park police are not very highly trained. They go through basic police academy, and they end up being Willow Park cops. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
because they couldn't be, you know, a Fort Worth PD officer. You know, bigger.
See, that's another thing that can happen, right? So you have the guys going through Fort Worth, and they have marital problems, and then all of a sudden they can't be a Fort Worth cop, so they go to Willow Park.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden.
And then they get grouchy because they're in Willow Park and then, you know.
And then the other side of that also is, since you answered my question, obviously we don't know what level of, you know, training and clearance each police department gets.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think, should there be better ways to, I don't know. Okay, I think that what needs to be standardized really is just if you do if you do this, this will happen type thing. Because there's no correct way right now to deal with when you don't follow orders.
In the department.
Yes.
Accountability.
I would say, and regarding that, it needs to be something blanket.
Yeah, there's not an accountability thing going on.
Yeah.
Okay. No accountability. So you're telling me, so you want that to be blanket. So do you want that to be like federally, you know, a law, or do you?
It would have to be. Well, you could do federal laws for police officers, just like there's federal laws for everybody else. I think.
How does the military handle it?
Oh, that's court martial. That's totally internal. They have their own court system in the military. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I guess, yeah, I just, that's crazy, but that makes sense.
Yeah,
so they do their own thing and they have accountability.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, absolutely. Have you freaking seen that crap? Yeah. They have accountability.
They have super duper accountability.
So right now it's internal investigation by the police department.
Right.
And mm-hmm. we don't know what happens.
Correct.
Yeah. That's not transparent.
Not. And it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have the investigations going on with the FBI right now. What's the case called again, dude? The main case we talk about all the time.
There's lots of different ones. The Durham probe.
The Durham probe. Thank you.
An FBI investigation.
It's not. Okay. My bad. But no. The Durham, whatever the investigation is, it's all public.
Uh-huh.
You can see everything.
Yeah.
You see what's happening and you're like, holy crap. And you're like,
well,
oh my gosh.
It's not all public. There's closed hearings for sure.
Yeah. Oh, okay. FBI is corrupt. Oh my gosh. You know, they don't have any of that crap for police like departments, true. Right? Mm-hmm.
Not you know, that I know of.
I've heard this a lot, and I think that the main thing, if we're talking about like problem, like solving problems like this,
mm-hmm.
one of the easiest first steps for everybody, for all police departments, would just be community outreach. And mm-hmm. the other thing is that most police departments, and when I say most, I'm saying like 90% mm-hmm. of Americans' police departments, they don't require their cops to be in the city. Mm-hmm. They don't require their cops to live in the town that they jurisdict.
Mm-hmm.
So like Dallas, for instance, I know that for a fact, Dallas does not require that.
Yeah.
And it's a big deal. And I know some cops that work in Dallas. They live in freaking East Texas. They live where I grew up. Because they don't—they work like on 24-hour shift, and then they're off for 48 hours or whatever. That's how cops usually work.
Yeah.
And so it makes you wonder, like, it's like if mm-hmm. you were in the military
mm-hmm.
and you are not, how can I say this? Because we have off-base, like off-country bases, you know, or other country bases,
it's still U.S. soil, though.
It's still U.S. soil. Yeah. So if you're off U.S. soil and you're a military for the U.S., would you care? I don't know. Would you be patriotic? I don't know. You know what I mean? Would you have loyalty to America? I don't know.
I mean, I would hope so.
Right? So when you don't care.
What are they
care,
doing in like the Middle East then?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Okay. That wasn't really a good comparison then. Because what I'm trying to say is like if a cop is a cop in Oak Cliff and then lives in East Texas, do you think it gives a crap about Oak Cliff's community?
No.
Probably not because he's not in that community.
He
doesn't live there. His family's not there.
It's like that's like you don't shit where you eat.
Yeah.
Right. And so
they're shitting way off where they're not eating.
And we're talking about the easiest way, you know, to do that. You don't necessarily have to take away all
you're
the policemen's
correct.
Money.
Yeah.
Just maybe make them live there and maybe
make
they would care about it.
Make them have a level of attachment to,
right?
They're policing. Exactly.
Because if you community outreach and you know these people, like freaking Waco. So in Waco, the sheriff knew the freaking, knew him. He
That's
knew
a
him.
Really good
like
point.
He knew David Koresh personally.
Yes.
Right? Because they were there. The sheriff was in that town. Obviously, that's where sheriffs are. But
he
lived there
he
too.
He knew members of the cult.
Personally.
It was like they're pretty friendly people.
And you
They're
don't have to
weird,
do any of this
like,
stuff. And you can walk in, and next thing you know, he did it.
Yeah.
On the account of the FBI, which sucked, or ATF, which sucked.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that right there is all, maybe that's all it takes, you mm-hmm. know? So
Just
if someone knew this 19-year-old and lived there,
a cop on his street
what
or
if
something.
That
cop in,
wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
A cop
right?
watched him play football in high school or something. Yeah. Agreed. Definitely. Yeah, and I mean, we're not saying that necessarily that'd be the person called to the scene.
No, it may not be.
Yeah,
But the other cop called to the scene would still leave there.
It'll bleed into the other cops.
Yeah.
Knowing that they have fellow officers that are personally attached to the community.
Right. Like you're talking about, like what would be describing is like a small town scenario, because small town cops usually live in a small town.
They usually
live there. All the cops in Lindale where I grew up all live in Lindale. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They all think they're Walker, Texas Ranger, but they definitely live there.
More small city focused, but you know, that would definitely be a good step because the community themselves would even see. That these people primarily are from this area.
Yeah.
So there's a level of trust to it, as far as knowing what goes on a day-to-day basis.
So how do you, the next question might be like, I don't know, what are you doing now? Like, you're a supporter of Black Lives Matter, but now how does it change everything? Like, how did that specific night change how you view it?
I had a conversation, I'm not going to go out and protest anymore. Just because of the simple fact that there are other people out there with other agendas. There's just so much that can happen.
Right.
There's already enough people out there voicing their views. And
right here. I mean, we're on this podcast, I'm not throwing rocks. Exactly. I'm not throwing bricks. You know what I mean? Like, we're just chilling.
I said I was going to find a different way to contribute.
Yeah.
What I did was I had the follow-up with them.
Yeah.
It was regarding the findings of the Dallas Police Department's investigation.
Yeah.
I had a follow-up on that. So the result of that was that they said they basically passed a policy saying see something, do something within the police officer department. And my feedback on that was you trust a regular civilian. If you see something wrong, say something, right?
Right.
So... I hope that it was with good intention, but you guys should have been doing that since day one. That should be your motto or something. So that's basically no action, need something better, you know? And then even being here on this podcast and just speaking as far as just what's going on.
Yeah.
That's another way for me to contribute.
Right.
And I mean, once I'm exposed to other ways to contribute, I'm willing. But protesting, not for me, really.
Right.
Yeah.
And I get that. I mean, you just don't want to associate yourself with like other people that might be doing the bad things that have nothing to do with it.
Robbed of, like, do you feel like your protests were robbed in a sense?
No.
Or taken away by either police or people that were using for nefarious saying. Like other reasons, you know?
I would address that question as saying whether me going out and protesting was a successful thing or not.
Oh, yeah.
And my answer to that was that, no, I don't feel with their say something, do something. I don't feel like we were successful.
That you did much, right? You're protest. Like, what the heck did that do?
Everything was more directed to us being out there and the way the police reacted. As far as what's going to be done to move forward positively, nothing's been done,
right?
Basically,
a lot of rhetoric,
and
words like slogans and stuff.
I mean, like Portland is still just going strong, and they're just a lot of crap, man.
That's disturbing to me. That's like, what are y'all doing? There's a happy medium of like, we can have discussions, we can protest, and we can still like, you know, have a civil society.
You're talking about a city that is not in Texas.
Portlandria.
Keep Portland weird. That's a Democrat run city. And you would think that that might help as far as like having a protest and it being normal. And they'd be like, oh yeah, come on in. The water's fine. Mm-hmm. That's not how it went down, which surprises me because you still have the cops. They're all doing the same thing. Right? They probably had the same incidents where the cops from the front and they came in from the back. I guarantee that happened. I wouldn't be surprised. And it's Portland. And so where is this coming from? I'm not sure. I'm a conspiracy theorist, so like I said earlier, I would not be surprised at all if 20 years down the road we're like, you know, oh, the government made all this happen or whatever, right? Or someone hired whoever.
I think it's both sides making it a bigger, not, I don't want to say a bigger deal than it is, but they're making the protest turn into riots. Mm-hmm. They're making that whole situation a bigger deal than it is, both on like the Republicans, right. Democrats, or Republicans, conservative side. They're hyping it up and saying, yeah. Oh, look at these anarchists. They're, don't take them seriously because we're all anarchists and all crazy. Mm-hmm. They're discrediting the actual issues.
Sure.
Whereas on the liberal Democrat side, they're basically appeasing the anarchists and,
right.
and the rioters and the looters and saying it's justified and it's okay. And at the same time, lumping in those actual issues with those rioters and looters.
Yeah.
And it's unfair, well, to the people that are actually bringing up real issues like yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. That's the real problem, is that both sides are hyping it up.
Agreed.
And pushing the issues aside.
And then you have, well, then the other thing I'll say about that.
For their own
it's
agendas.
It's very hard not to lump like an organization called Black Lives Matter into everything.
And I was gonna,
because it's pretty clear when you call something Black Lives Matter, that is literally like it's an obvious statement, is what I'm saying, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, people of, I would say,
you cannot disagree with the statement of Black Lives Matter.
Correct.
But
you shouldn't. I'm just saying you can, right? Mm-hmm. So whenever you, it's easy to lump it in. So whenever you have politics coming into it, you know, that's like an obvious shoe-in. It's like it just gets shooed in. It's like, what the hell?
Anger is being tapped into right now, for sure.
Right. Well, then you have, the coincidence of coronavirus or whatever, and everyone's quarantined, and that affects you mentally.
Mentally.
People are anxious. People have fear.
Those first
rash
three
decisions.
Weeks, yeah. The first 3 weeks of being at home was rough. It was the roughest. I don't even know. It's like you literally can't go anywhere. And it was just rough.
Well, so what do you do? Like, what, you were at home, but what do you do for work? Yeah, I guess you were considered non-essential.
I was not going out to work every day. Yeah, so I was able to work from home, basically. Mm. Just continue life with like it was normal. So I would work, but when I go to the office, I like the interaction that I get with my team and everything.
Right.
You know, like it was good every day for me. And then, you know, you're at home and all you can do is chat with people. Thankfully, you know, I had seen these people face to face for a certain amount of time to be able to become like we're chatting
friendly to
day.
Chat or whatever. Yeah.
But as far, there's a good majority of the people that are just introverts, but like to go out and do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
And that was interrupted right there. And that's a factor.
Yeah.
Anger is being tapped into right now. Yeah. And like you said, it's just an opportunity for definitely so many parties to
converge,
promote whatever they want right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
so before I forget this question, I was going to ask, what do you think about, so I feel like the agenda of BLM has completely changed since Michael Brown was killed in 2014. Like it was basically started after that incident happened. And
what is it, like the hands up, don't shoot thing? Mm-hmm. Wasn't that the like movement or
that
I don't know
was,
what?
Yeah, that was like the initial narrative. Okay. But mm-hmm. the Black Lives Matter group was formed shortly after that. And the founder is totally different.
I know. I heard about that.
He's not in the group.
Wasn't
today.
He like blacklisted from the group or something like that?
I
what happened?
I think, I don't know for sure.
Do you know his name?
I think he disavowed the group.
Do you know his name?
Disavowed the group.
Yeah.
But so like, he said the group, he just said peace.
Well, he said
I'm
it's
out.
Been taken over by like basically hardcore leftists that want to use it for their own agenda instead
people
of
say
like
Marxist
people that want to
whatever, but
you know, focus on police reform.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Do you remember his name?
Mm-mm.
Dang it, dude.
It's so crazy.
Say, what do you think about the change from then to now?
Yeah.
And do you see it as
the
same?
The way things become lumped in together. Cause when Black Lives Matter started, right. I'm pretty sure it was primarily African-Americans saying that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then we go forward and these things keep happening, you know, and then it turns into, you know, obviously, obviously, you know, there are...
That was Keith, an audience. We have an audience today.
So like, what's it called? What am I trying to say here? There's Black Lives Matter, right? And then there's a point where it became if you're not saying anything about it,
right?
You're basically against it. If that makes sense.
Sure. Well, they would. Okay. Specifically, I've seen things where they're like,
"You're
complicit with
white supremacy."
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically, saying you're racist or whatever if you're not
society
on it.
Society let it get to the point where if you're not saying anything about Black Lives Matter or addressing police brutality against an African, someone that you're literally,
they just went to the extreme.
Yeah, you're literally against it. Right. So then, I'm not saying. I'm just thinking what happened here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're good.
That, we're good. You know, the way it became open. And I'm not saying there's a problem with it necessarily.
Yeah.
Because we definitely needed other racists to be able to say that, like, this is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But then it opens the door for every other... You know, the fact that everybody, you know, ideally everybody should be able to see that it's a problem.
Right.
It opens the door to literally everybody.
Well, and you're right. And it would open the door to, like, basically all the minorities that we're saying.
Yes.
Like, you got, now you have LGBTQ plus or whatever the heck adding on, right?
Exactly.
And that is what's happening. Now, the thing is with that, well, first of all, I would say that's not a race for them.
Mm-hmm.
But second of all, I would say that I think the issue came whenever Black Lives Matter became a very, 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 very broad general term. Because how it started, right? We just talked about it. Police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
So what if you called it police brutality matters? Because it matters and we need to change it. And then you'd have a very specific niche that you're hitting.
Well, I think also, like, the point of saying Black Lives Matter is that the media wasn't covering black deaths like they were covering white deaths. Like, if a little black girl gets kidnapped, media does not cover it like they cover a little white girl that's
kidnapped. But see, that's what you're doing right now. Yes, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But what was it originally started for? Was it just police brutality, or was it all of that? Right?
I think the main attention was police brutality, but it was like, you have to obviously think, you know.
Right.
About the media,
and now what has it become? Right, it's become this, right? So now you're lumped into LGBTQ plus. Sorry, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why, but here you are.
And
welcome to the club, bro.
It's like some people may support one and not the other, you know.
That's fact as well.
And I mean, not necessarily to make it a blue versus red thing, right? But.
Oh my gosh, yeah, here we go, let's do it.
Not to make it a blue versus red thing, but society makes it, like you're saying, right? LGBTQ and Black Lives Matter, boom, you're here.
Yeah, they lump it in.
Everybody that's against that stuff, boom, you're here.
And you know what? Mm-hmm. What I'm going to say is it kind of all stems from how the organizations are taken over, and so they become an activist group. And so you'll literally have like a Karen out here that's in an activist group, and she just likes to be an activist. Next thing you know, she's jumping on BLM because apparently it's an activist group. You know what I'm saying? And it's like this weird transition that'll happen. It's hard to be in that space, that activist space, and stay your own.
You get lumped in with everything.
That's the cool thing about podcasting is that we can all have our own views and be all, you know, on the same platform.
Yeah, yeah, but everyone knows exactly what's happening. Yeah, and the other thing is that I can share whatever I want and it doesn't matter. And so that's one of the reasons I'm on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Politics-wise, it's definitely not led by what majority of the population believes in, I would say, and that's become clear cut. But everything, is lumped in with each other. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, do you think there's a way to separate it? Do you think there's a way to fix it? What would you do? What would you do right now if you were in the chair of who runs Black Lives Matter? What's her name? Vice president, something like that, of Black Lives Matter. What's her name? You don't know? Whatever.
If you were
in her chair and you're like, hey, you know, this is it. This is what we're doing. You know, what would you be doing?
I mean, the only thing that can be done is that, the only way things are going to change is through the legal system. So whoever the leaders are, need to be able to effectively communicate with the legal system.
Holy crap. Wow. Effectively communicate. Keywords.
Basically, they need to hire lawyers and lobbyists to change people in Congress.
Because lobbyists is how this freaking country runs, right?
My whole problem with Black Lives Matter is that they're not doing that. They say, we want to tear down the whole system and restart. I'm like, okay, that's where we
disagree. That's not happening.
Right. Yeah, that's not happening. Check this out. Exactly. So some of the things that have come out, some of the things that have come out are, you know, the defunding police thing, right? Well, that got really big in obviously Democrat-run cities, right? Because they're going to jump on board with it. Why wouldn't they
City
jump on
councils
board?
Have done that. And
L.A.,
spiked, and it's like
Seattle, Portland, Chicago. All these big cities have done that. Man, they've defunded by millions of
New
dollars.
New York City.
See,
what are you going to see, right? What are you going to see?
So, I mean, I don't know what police department it was, but they released, I believe, their payroll. And what I had a problem with is that an officer was allowed to put in more than 40 hours even of overtime.
Whoa. 40 hours of overtime?
I mean, okay. Even if I'm overestimating, I'd say, you know, even more than 20 hours of overtime.
Well, what you're talking
in
about.
A week, right?
What?
And
okay,
they get paid for that overtime, however overtime is calculated. So also that's another thing that could help. You know, like you're saying, they work straight 24 hours because they don't live.
That's what I was about to say. If you're talking about overtime, that means you're working 2 days straight.
Exactly. And just the mental capacity for someone to be able to concentrate on what they're correctly supposed to be doing that
Amber
long.
Geiger.
Well, now you're walking into nurse territory.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what happened in the Amber Geiger case when she shot Baltham Jean.
Exactly.
She
got home from a shift.
She was way
She had no
overworked.
Idea what was going on.
Yeah. Didn't know
overworked.
What floor she was on.
Thought it was her freaking, and, yeah, thought it was her, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. You're so like those two correlations, right? I can say that either you get more officers and you have to train them properly, obviously, and they work regular shifts, right? Like everybody else in this country. So you're not overworked.
Right.
And you're not put in situations where you make bad decisions. And that's where I'm saying, like, as far as defunding the police, no. I don't want to take money from the police as far as how they conduct their day-to-day business.
Well, you end up in the same situation. They want more overtime at that point, right? More than they're getting now. If they defund the police and I don't make enough money, I want more overtime.
You'd have less officers, they'd be overworked. Makes sense? You'd have less training. It's like, you know.
Right. It would basically.
Well, no, I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
I'm not
arguing. I know you're not.
I'm saying, you know.
I'm getting worked up, you know?
Yeah. I'm not saying defund the police at all.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's as far as money goes. They have that opportunity to make, as far as on an individual level.
Yeah, yeah.
An officer has an opportunity to be able to extend themselves that far, and
they should.
That has other effects on it.
Right.
So as far as defunding, no. But
limiting overtime.
Yes.
And
change the structure
stuff.
Of pay.
Yeah.
Change the pay structure.
Don't make it just a cash bank.
Right.
You work now, this amount of hours this week and you get paid X amount.
Mm-hmm. Now, well, yeah. What if, I mean, I don't know, are cops salary or not?
They are, but with overtime.
Because how do you have a salary
overtime.
With overtime?
It's time and a half.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, then it's not a salary.
Right. It's not normal
so,
at all.
So it. Yeah. I think policemen should be paid respectively,
well,
right?
Okay, so salary is based off of, it's 40-hour work week,
yeah.
And then that's broken down, let's say you get $1,200 a week or whatever it is.
Yeah,
right.
It's broken down hourly after that, so it's just time and a half.
So I compare them to, my best friend, my roommate's an accountant.
CPA?
Yeah, CPA. Okay. He's an auditor.
I need to talk to him, by the way.
And dude...
Sounds like
even till this day, when we're at home working now, this guy's on calls till 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Just putting this here, telling people what to do,
yeah.
This and that and this, you know? And that's mentally draining on, you know, I'm like, I don't know how you work so long.
Right.
And he's just on base salary. He's just base salary. You might get a $500 bonus here and there, but an officer that's supposed to be conducting how society is supposed to
run and enforce laws. Yeah.
You're letting
them.
Yeah. They got to be like on point.
Exactly.
And you're talking. Yeah. And you're talking about mentally
point.
And physically draining.
Yeah.
And you're talking about having a psychology test when you get the job. What if we did a psych test or something, right? Like a little questionnaire or whatever. There's a movie I saw where they did that every single day.
That would be like
they got in a room and he was asked some question
over like a month or something.
I can't remember that. But you get off your shift and then you're like, okay, You ask him some questions.
Just do a quick mental assessment.
Right.
Your shift is over.
And you're like,
that's a good idea.
You're like, okay, before you do this shift, because I think it works the same as it's similar to fire department. I know that. Mm-hmm. And I have a very good friend in fire department. I would call him my brother almost because I'm with their family all the time. Mm-hmm. If he catches a shift, like it's like being a server at a restaurant, and he'll do the same thing. And he does get overtime.
Yeah.
He'll work a 24-hour shift. And then if someone like wants to switch with him, mm-hmm. he'll work another 24-hour shift on top of it.
Yeah.
Now, for a fire department, it works a little bit differently because they have a bed.
Yes.
They're literally right there in bed. Yep. Now, unless you're on call freaking 24/7, which every once in a while that happens in Dallas, or you're in California.
Sorry.
Every once in a while that happens.
Wildfire joke.
But it usually doesn't, mm-hmm. and usually he can get a couple hours sleep here and there.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So it works better for them. I don't know if police departments have beds.
Everybody just needs rest. Like, I'm a mechanic, like, and if I'm tired at work, I could screw up somebody's brakes and kill somebody.
Yeah,
like,
just sitting in front of a screen.
Restful.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, just sitting in front of a screen.
Yeah.
I know that if I didn't get enough sleep the night before, like, I've mm-hmm. had instances where I worked on something, somebody comes back and says, oh, you did this right here. You're like, how the hell did I make that mistake? Silly mistake.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's just from being tired.
Yeah. Being on point
yeah.
takes rest.
Yes.
You know?
As far as just them being out there, you have to be on point.
Yeah.
And, you know, as far as defunding the police, that's the only thing I have to say about that.
Yeah, caffeine is just a Band-Aid, so you can't rely on caffeine. Mm-hmm. I mean, I only get like 5 or 6 hours of sleep, and that's fine for me because I'm like freaking high ADHD or whatever, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't do it if I didn't have sleep.
Yeah.
If I didn't have sleep at all, I'm screwed.
Mm-hmm.
You give me a couple days of not having but 3 hours of sleep, and that third day I'll be like, man, this sucks,
right.
And I won't be able
make
to do
that,
anything.
You just got to make that, if you're a cop, you just got to make that routine cocaine bust once a week and keep it off the books.
Wow.
I mean?
Keep it off the books.
Yeah. Off the books.
Take the line. We're talking about corruption, and we're trying to de-corrupt.
Right. We're trying to that's what we're doing. <right. laughs>
I think the plan was de-corruption there.
You know, that's something that I think would help mend that gap.
Well, heck yeah, man. I that's dope. I agree. Mm. That's great. And this right here is like something that I don't think people understand can happen.
Mm.
This conversation.
Yeah.
This easy stuff.
A lot of people think there's like nothing to find common ground.
People look at the extremes on media. They look at the extremes on social media and everything else. And they're just like, you know, this is how they are. Or this is how we are. Whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, I said this the other day. There's a silent majority out there of everything.
Yeah.
Okay. And you just said it yourself. You know, I'm like, I'm not going to protest anymore because that's not for me.
Mm.
And it seems like it doesn't even really do what we're trying to get across here. There's other ways to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you've become a quote unquote, not really silent majority because you're not silent, but you're the guy that's not going to be a protester on the media or any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Same as us. I'm not in the news or looking at CNN or all this stuff about politics.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really going to tell you who I'm going to vote for. Any of that crap doesn't really matter, but there's a silent majority to everything.
Hmm.
And we're going, hopefully, holy crap, we're going to see something come of it. Something's got to come of it. On both fronts.
Yeah.
Political and Black Lives Matter, the actual movements trying to change the way we run things.
Fundamental, yeah.
Because I know for a fact, if you explained it to someone and didn't even mention Black Lives Matter, and you just said, well, I think the policemen should be run this way, and we just talked about it,
mm-hmm.
and they'd be like, holy crap, yeah, I totally agree, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not even know you're like a supporter of Black Lives Matter or whatever,
yeah.
right? But there's people out there that as soon as you say that, they'd be like, oh, well, I'm a Trump supporter. You suck, right?
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
They would address that to defunding the police and the rest of the major bullet topics, I should say, under that.
I'm saying that if you recommended what you just told us,
without mentioning black, they'd be like,
hey, you know, whatever, that's dope.
Trying to defund the police.
Right.
Yeah.
There are people just like that.
Exactly.
It's become a political. What I'm saying is, it's almost similar to
political
parties.
Battle.
Mm-hmm. It's dumb. It's absolutely stupid. It's mm-hmm. ludicrous.
Yeah.
It doesn't get us anywhere.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. But hopefully, the silent majority is on the ethical rightness side of history, I should say.
Yeah. So what would you say? Okay, so that's what I kind of want to go down that path. Like, I don't know a lot of history, right? He's always the history guy or whatever. Yeah. But we haven't really got history into it that much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, freaking nerd. I'm just kidding, dude. We haven't really got into it or anything, but what do you know of, like, black history as far as, like, what I should say is, like, how has it changed and how has it not? I don't know how to describe that. Yeah. Maybe you know. I'm just overall.
What black history is in America?
That's not what I'm... Yeah, I guess, kind of. Like, I know all the stuff I read textbooks of. I know all that stuff. I get it. But what I don't know about are, like, the... What would you call them? What do you call that? Crap, I can't remember.
I'd say, well, for me...
Nuances. That's what I was looking for.
Nice.
I don't know all the nuances of... I took me
and
forever.
I don't either.
I was going to say, you were in Nigeria until you were 8, correct?
Yeah, but I don't remember much from that, honestly.
I don't remember much before I was 8.
Yeah, when I got here, it's like, boom, new life and everything. Mm-hmm. I went from there. But as far as black history, it's just what I've heard from people that were, you know, there back then.
I think it would be amazing. So I haven't had many conversations with older black people. I haven't, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at that, that might be interesting. I would like that. It would help. Man, you know. You know
like
what I'm saying?
What they basically just tell you is just straight up how it was back then.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, whoa, mm-hmm. like
right.
When they tell you about how just it's either you go with whatever is happening mm-hmm. or. You get beat up.
Yeah, yeah,
like I said earlier.
Yeah,
that's
crazy, dude.
Those are the two sides of it back then.
So would you say it's like, has it changed? You know, is it better? Like, I mean, is it? You know
so
what I mean? Like,
the only thing that's changed about it is that more information, I should say, we're more visible to it.
Okay.
So then people are able to see it and react to it.
Right
now. Back in the day, I'm pretty sure, you know, you come home with whatever on your face and you come home with a bloody face and boom, that's the select few people that are going to see what happened and mm-hmm. know what happened right there in front of you. Now you share your story and people see it and they just know what's going on and, exposure, I should say, basically.
Yeah.
To society's exposure to actually what goes on is the only thing that's changed. Will that lead to resolving the issue is the question, I should say. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's what I say when I say that, you know, hopefully everybody's on the right side of ethical
history. Well, as you, we're phoning the audience mm-hmm. right now. Keith, what's up?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I mean, what your question, you mean, like, how has it changed since, like
he can walk up there if you want. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Bring it in.
Well,
you mean like how like my grandparents and how like it's changed from like how they were when they were growing up to like how it is now?
Pull the mic over, man.
How it is now?
Yeah. I'm saying like, yeah, because the thing is that I, of course, me being me and not being in that situation or being, you know what I mean? I don't know. And the way I see it, I would say, okay, hasn't it at least changed a little bit or gotten better? That's what I would say. But...
For us,
you know what I'm saying.
For our generation,
yeah, I'm talking
it's
about
definitely better.
Okay, there. That's all I'm saying. Like,
yeah, it's
so
definitely
we can all agree, like politics suck, and like the way it's running is shitty. But yeah, how is it different?
Has,
like your grandparents,
has.
You know.
So my grandpa would say it is. We're more accepted now. Back in his day, the playing field wasn't even. If you mean like, if you think about it, slaves weren't allowed to read.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're allowed to get married.
And what? Okay, so how old is your grandpa?
My grandpa is only 71.
71? Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
So it's not that far from him because if you think about it, his parents were in that time.
So when he was, you know, your age or maybe a little bit older even, he got to talk about his great-grandparents or his grandparents even that were actually, you know, part of this.
When he was young, he said that he didn't go to a mixed school, a segregated school, until he was in, I think, his first year of high school. So he was in an all-black school, and then they made him move to a mixed school, which he didn't want to go to at first.
Of course.
Yeah,
it's a big change.
That'd be
intimidating.
That'd be uncomfortable.
Yeah. I think it would be intimidating.
Yeah, I've talked to people that were part of the – because they did it in phases, I should say.
Right.
They grabbed people from certain neighborhoods and took them to certain schools. And, I mean, and the way she explained it was that she just kept going like, you know, like nothing happened. And she just integrated into the school, but definitely you get an eye and stuff, and people just look at you different. So, I mean, compared to now, definitely we're not going through a lick of what they went through back then.
Sure. Okay, so, and I think that that's there's something to say about really you guys, honestly, mm-hmm. and being able to recognize that kind of thing mm-hmm. and be humble about it.
Yeah.
Because getting the frustration and anger into it ends, it seems like it will end in, it would end in a protest ending in a riot and all that crap, you know what I mean? That's all I want. I want us to be able to, like, actually make movements happen and do it right.
Yeah.
You know? Because there's no way, for, I don't know. Yeah. Whatever, dude. This is it, man.
People are trying to take too big a bite, I feel like.
You want to get something started? Be on the Toasty Podcast.
You know what's, like, kind of blowing my mind? What's been, like, the back of my mind is, like, Kim Kardashian got criminal justice reform done. Like, she helped, like, with free that movement, and she helped, yeah, and she helped free. I can't remember. It was a, I think it was a, like a female inmate who was in on, or maybe it was a guy, maybe
innocent or something like that.
I think it was a guy,
but it's like
That happened so quick.
Yeah, and now she's becoming
why?
A
why?
Lawyer.
Why like, did it happen? Whoa. Anyone want to take a guess?
We don't know.
Oh yeah, money. I don't know. I was thinking lobbying, but I don't know.
I think
you know what I mean.
Just,
like, of course
think,
it is.
I honestly think
she is cool.
She just saw an injustice and was just like, I gotta do something. I'm a billion. I'm almost a billionaire. I did it because of a sex tape and like. the thing is, like, it's true. She has such a freaking shallow existence.
Yeah.
Until she did that.
Yeah.
Now it's like you've done something truly admirable. Like,
well,
freaking good for you.
She's busy too. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Like even before being a lawyer and stuff like that, right? She's a famous person or whatever that's on a reality TV show.
Yeah.
First,
she's done a lot of behind the scenes
and she does a lot of stuff, right?
Stuff. Yeah.
And then she becomes a lawyer while she's doing all that crap.
But the thing is,
crazy,
like,
man.
Her whole persona was a very shallow, even if it was a lot of hard work. I'm not discrediting that.
Right.
Her whole persona is a very shallow persona.
Yeah, yeah.
Based on her figure and based off
and you would expect
beauty.
You think it came out of nowhere, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like, wow, what the heck?
But the thing is, she's proving that she can be more than that, and that's cool. And that's
step
thing
up,
is,
man. But that's what we need.
If she can do
we need
it,
more
my
people.
Point is, if she can do it, then anybody can do it. You just have to stay focused and take small bites like she did. She were focused on one person being free, and it brought a lot of attention to criminal justice reform. And I honestly think that it led to, like, hey, we need to talk about this more. We need to put this more in the mainstream.
Well, that's what it starts at, awareness.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the Black Lives Matter actually started out as. Like, I know they're protesting and stuff, but it brings awareness. It makes us have these conversations.
Yeah, that's true.
You think we would be having these conversations if we didn't have riots and stuff?
No, exactly. Yeah. And you're right. And that's the thing. That's another thing I would say is I wouldn't be talking to you guys if he hadn't said, I'm in the protest and I'm a supporter of this and all that. You know what I mean? I want to get the life story, you know?
Yeah.
It's okay, so you said you grew up in Nigeria and everything else, and I know you don't remember much about it, but what's interesting is I have a few coworkers that grew up in Africa, like I said. Mm-hmm. They like refuse to be on the show. I don't know why. Well, okay, I kind of know why. I know why, but like it's like this, like they don't want to speak about that past, you know what I mean?
I mean, I could definitely understand not wanting to speak about like coming from there or I can understand.
It's a third world place. I get it.
It can't.
And they have a lot more problems than America might.
Older age group?
Yes.
You know,
so
30s, 40s.
Yeah. So I've got one of my coworkers, South Africa, and then two of my coworkers. Well, one's Nigeria, and then he's like 42.
Yeah.
He moved when he was like 25. I'm talking about Dean, dude. And I've talked to him a little bit about it. Mm. He's still like straight. You know, he's from Africa because of his demeanor, the way he is. They're very straightforward people, and so sometimes he comes across as like mean or whatever. And you're like, you're just being straightforward. I get it, but he won't talk about that. And obviously, what's Dean, right? He doesn't want to be. He doesn't want to be on a podcast. He doesn't even know what that is. Probably he doesn't care about it.
And it's. I think that's the whole part of just putting that life behind you and what you have to.
And that could be it. You know,
get through here.
I think the good thing is you have grandparents, stuff like that, that want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
We would have no idea what happened if people won't come out and say it.
Yeah.
Right?
Fact.
I wouldn't have any idea. All I would know is what the textbook told me, which now textbooks are being made and created and owned by, you know, one side of the spectrum,
what?
Right? So how do you know what's going to come out of that? come of that.
Yeah, I mean, your most like valuable asset is your elders. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, agreed.
There's just
there's a lot of wisdom involved for that, for sure.
Yeah, especially if you find 80-year-olds that are still with it, man. Like, because they've been around so long. Like, when you hit 80, you're like just like owl like wise, you know. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just like how to take care of yourself, you know.
Yeah.
And that
drink a Dr. Pepper a day. Remember that?
That's definitely true. And, you know, I can only address this to my work environment. I'm around a lot more older people than me, twice my age. And, you know, they're just able to tell you. Within the business, life, society-wise,
mm-hmm.
They're able to relay what they went through. And if anything, that fills in that gap for us, I guess, everybody here, whoever the older community is that you speak to, that fills in that gap that we're missing from the history books, like you're saying. Like 20 years from now, whatever history book they're learning from, we'll say whatever version, and that generation will talk to us and hear our side of it.
Right.
And like you're saying, 20 years from now, we could easily figure out that this was all led by whoever.
Right.
And that is, you'd be like, I said it. I said this back then.
Of course, but that would be the crazy guy.
I mean.
And like you said, you'd be, you know, you said it earlier. You were talking about how, like, you know, one day we're going to realize that maybe this crazy person that we cross the street with or see on the street isn't crazy after all. Mm-hmm. And you're not necessarily talking about, like, actual, like, schizophrenic people. You're talking about, like, people that say things that are weird. Yeah. You're like Alex Jones or someone like that. That's like, oh my gosh, he's a very extreme guy, you know? And he's like got this like conspiracy theory head, and he's like, man, all this stuff, aliens, oh my gosh, you know? And you're like, oh wow. But what if, you know? And then one day we might realize that. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know? Exactly. But my thing is, none of that matters as much as changing things now as far as like.
Right.
Yeah, and regardless of what the media will say, or you know how Black Lives Matter is actually ran, or who it's actually run by, or any of these organizations, or if the government's done something weird we don't know about, whatever, we're talking about fixing an actual problem that we have now that's real, and we know it's real. And I struggle constantly with how do I change that? And I've asked this so many times to everyone. You know, it doesn't even have to be about police brutality. It could be about how education's ran or whatever, right? Because I've had guests on the show for that, and it's always the same type of thing. We need to get into local government first.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
There's no. I don't know. There's a. Yeah.
Turn the mic.
I was gonna say. I don't know if there's a. I mean, clearly up to this point, there's no successful template to be
right.
Able
okay,
to
yeah, that's a good point too, right?
Because
those people that would tell me that they haven't mm-hmm. been politicians. Yeah. I don't want to be a politician, you know, to change something. Now,
I mean, as far as I know, by the time you're in politics long enough to be at the point where you can actually do things, you're washed over by the system.
You've been puppeted. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, can we get enough people that go in for the right purpose and they're able to stick it through to the point where they're able to make change, basically?
Right.
You can with term limits. You got to put term limits on Congress.
You're all about it, dude.
Dude.
You throw that in every time.
So many, if we outlawed lobbying and we put term limits on congressmen, that would solve 90% of our country's
problems. Well, yeah, of course
we would have
it would,
so
right?
many, like, stupid first world problems, like... There's too many parking spaces in America. What do we do?
Yeah.
We'd have, like, shit like that.
yeah,
that
I can
would,
only
those
imagine.
Those would be our problems,
right?
If we got
that
rid
sound,
of
yeah, that's a yeah, wow.
And we put term limits on cars.
Compared to the problems we're talking about, that's freaking that's awesome.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Too many parking places.
My other thing is that we're cut. This is... It's almost like more divisive now. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, duh.
Everything's more divisive now.
It
and
is
super divisive, and everything's very divided.
I don't like that, man.
And like you mentioned, it's for or against us on both sides.
Because you've got people that will literally just say, like, you know, I hate America. America sucks or whatever. And you're like, well, you're living here, dude. What are you doing, man? Don't say, just let's figure out how
don't
to change
America
it.
Sucks,
you know?
Like, fix
let's
it.
Fix
Find
it,
a problem
right?
And fix it.
Like
get
what
a,
do you,
get
I mean,
a petition, get 10,000 signatures, send it to your congressman. Tell them to write a bill. Tell them to get other congressmen behind it because
right.
there's more people across the U.S. feel this way, and that's how you affect change. that. It's not, I said it's that easy, but that's what you have to
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
You know, and like he so said, if, like you have to bring attention to it. Otherwise, how are you going to get 10,000 signatures? You can't go to door to door for 10,000 signatures.
Right.
You're just going to piss off a lot of suburban voters like real fast. So
if you were going to be like, let's just like the, speaking of that, though, like if you were going to be. Have you ever wanted to have you guys ever wanted to move? Have you guys ever wanted to go to a different country ever?
No.
I haven't. I mean, because I have like so I. A long time ago when I was in high school, I was like, I'm going to move because, you know, adventure or whatever. It wasn't even for political reasons.
Yeah.
That didn't happen, of course, because I think I realized that that was dumb. And moving, you can visit all day long.
Yeah.
Moving is probably.
It's a whole other story. You got to learn the language and stuff.
I just think that, like, I'm not sure. You know, I don't know why you would necessarily. It might be worse at other countries.
Like, as far
it's
as
definitely
moving,
worse.
Yeah, like, you're talking
America,
about.
America's the best country, I'd say. That
freaking well, okay. patriotism, except dude. Let's for, go. No, I'm just
so
kidding.
what I've been hearing, right? The only thing I'd say, like Canada, for example, apparently
sure.
if you go to school there and you graduate college there, you get your residence. So then you're legally
oh,
in
so
the
that's
country.
Being a citizen
I've,
is going to school.
I've well, not you know, a resident. You
yeah.
can't vote or anything.
It's like a permanent,
oh.
it's like a permanent green.
Okay,
yeah.
sorry, I didn't.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
wow.
So that's what I've heard as far as Canada, for example, and I'd say that that's a beneficial factor compared to the United States mm-hmm. that they have. But outside of that, I'd say America is the best place you can be as far as opportunity goes. This is the best place you can be.
Yeah.
So as far as moving out of the country,
right.
I don't know what someone would be moving to.
Well, I mean, you guys are also pretty freaking level-headed, so it's not, I mean, it's kind of a moot point to, because I'm talking about the people that would say, oh, I hate America,
yeah,
whatever,
exactly.
and you're
like,
dude, like,
what are you
talking about?
What are you
comparing
basically?
To,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. What
and
do you know
you
about
see,
somewhere
you
else?
See the same thing all the time, like, oh, you know, Switzerland does it this way, or Norway, or whatever, and you're mm-hmm. like, okay, but would you really live there?
Exactly.
It's cold.
Dude, okay, it's cold.
Oh,
temperature?
That's cold.
Okay.
That's,
well, that's
no,
a legitimate
that's,
thing,
that's
right? We're out
that's
here in Texas. Like, yeah,
yeah
it is.
I was
going to
say,
list.
Any true Texan, the first person. I'm not
weather.
Living in some
dude,
Nordic
60
country.
Degrees hits, and you're like, hoodie season.
yeah.
But, I mean, even still, they're smaller. They're yeah. freaking ton smaller. Mm-hmm. They're not. They don't
even,
have, the population's not even the same.
Canada's 30 million people, which is a tenth.
30 million?
A tenth the size of the
U.S. We've
got
300 more million people.
It's like Los Angeles.
Right.
They can just facilitate things a lot. Smoother, I should say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's
but,
crazy, man.
I mean, as far as where you'd live, if someone, I mean, unless you're rich and you can, the transition is easy.
Well, yeah, sure.
I'd like to hear someone's argument for living elsewhere.
yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Nice, dude.
Yeah. That's a really good point.
I mean, I don't know, man. We covered a lot of crap. is there anything else you want to, like, bring up?
No, just. Thank you guys for having me, really.
I
love the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love having you, man. I love
it. You're great.
I love the conversation. And, yeah, like we were saying, more action and less side events.
Yeah,
basically,
sure.
Going forward.
Because there hasn't been much, like you see the year, let's look at 2020 in review.
God,
and how
no.
much progress has the movement made for the actual purpose?
They've defunded police.
Now, as far as awareness goes, like Keith was saying earlier,
awareness
it's through 99. The freaking roof,
it's,
right?
It is literally
right?
like
we all know
number one or two issue next to a global pandemic. So,
all we're waiting for now, I would say, is that you know, the small group of people or the one person or whoever it is, like Kardashian,
mm-hmm.
Kim, was it Kim?
One.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure it was
Kimberly.
Kim. I didn't know which one it was. To do it. To go in and be like, I have the power. I'm in the political stance. Done.
Or even
right?
just someone with a lot of influence like that.
Or even someone with
like
a lot
that.
Of influence,
like,
right?
She was very apolitical about it. She wasn't like, I'm a Democrat doing this. I'm
right,
a
yeah,
Republican
yeah.
doing this. She
it's
was
just
like,
right
I'm a person doing this because.
Yeah. It's like Joe Rogan moderating a debate, which would be freaking epic. But that's,
Trump
you know
already
what I mean?
Agreed
like,
to
whatever.
It.
Whatever.
Yeah.
4-hour debate.
Either right group of people. Right group of companies that are up there that have
yeah.
the money to be able to. But I mean, if it's led by companies, you know, they're going to have their
yeah,
bullet points in there
right.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
You've already got companies that the company, okay, it's capitalism. And yes, while I am on board for capitalism,
it creates opportunity. Taking advantage.
Correct. Of the That's situation. What I'm saying. All you're going to be doing is tacking it on, mm-hmm. so you can hashtag Black Lives Matter, so that you can maybe have more customers.
Or not lose customers. I mean,
or not, well, that's the other thing. Maybe not lose customers because of cancel culture, but.
But even those people need to be about action.
Correct.
Like, just straight action.
Yes. Now, I guess that helps with awareness. I don't know.
Results,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, I was gonna
say. Yeah. You see, like you said, action proves. So any result you have will be that. Will be like, okay, they actually did something. Mm-hmm. If there are no results and you're just writing, like Portland, I would say, is probably a downfall as far as what's happening, you know?
Seattle had a black police chief resign because they cut her salary by like 40%. Because
they did the defunding thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, why reading you... that. She said, no, I'm out. Mm-hmm. This is crazy.
I was like, move to Fort Worth.
But first, she was also the first one. Wasn't she?
What do you mean?
She was the first one. First black police like chief or something like
of
that.
Seattle,
right?
Yeah,
of Seattle. She was the first one ever, and then she's like, and a woman. And she's like, you know what? Nah.
I mean, same thing with the Dallas mayor now, after all the fallout from everything that happened, she's saying that she's gonna be leaving the department in November. Well, like, sorry, not mayor, but the chief. Yeah.
Really?
Chief. She's gonna be leaving, and that's who I was referencing earlier too. If I said mayor, I'm sorry, but chief. She didn't give the orders back then.
Okay.
But yeah, she's going to be leaving the police department at the end of November. And I believe she was the first black mayor, chief mayor.
Did she say why she's leaving?
Police chief. I believe it was addressed to there's been a lot that's gone on. And they've done their best to, you know, manage it. And
so they've been trying to push her out since she got in, honestly.
Oh, you think?
I
saw the police. The police, individual police officers didn't like her as well.
Sure.
I saw. She's going to be leaving as well. I mean, as long as whoever's next has the right intentions in mind, no problem. And she tried her best while she was in office.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah, I don't know about her policies or anything like that. I don't know what she would do,
either.
You know. But
I don't either.
The main thing like that is like knowing that the Seattle chief or whatever just resigned and like gave – he was like this – or she's like, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing this. It just shows you what's going to happen. What would happen if you defund the police all the way through, you know? That right there would happen.
All the good cops are going to go do private security.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad.
Yeah, anyway, okay, dude, I got to break this down, dude, okay?
Sure. Last question. Who do you think is going to win the election? We have to ask everybody leading up to the election.
Every audience member, like, I know you don't have to be political.
You don't have
matter.
To say who you're voting for.
We don't care about who you're voting for.
Who do you think is
going
to win versus who you want to win?
I honestly have no idea, and that's simply because of just the way elections work.
Especially the last one.
I have no idea.
All the polls were one way, and everyone was like, oh, it's going to be this way. And the popular vote was one way, and it was like, nope.
Exactly.
And then we see, Cambridge Analytica comes out, and it's like, oh, crap, Facebook was totally doing this whole thing. Oh, yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a wait-and-see thing. We'll wake up on November 4th and see the results.
Maybe. Michigan's already said that mail-in ballots can be counted up to 6 days after the election, so.
Okay.
And then there was another state that said 3 days. So
it could be.
That's weird, and it might federal government might be like, yeah, we're not counting it. We're not counting those votes that you get. Federal government can say election day is this day. If you don't have all your votes in by midnight, they're null and void.
So even if it's state,
I don't know for sure if they're going to do that. But
it makes sense to have it in by the end of November 3rd. Obviously.
Right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
As far as counting it, are they going to process all of them, or are they saying that they
if it's post dated, or postmarked, I should say, for that day, like for November 3rd,
mm-hmm.
It was in, and it's just been sitting in a box because they've been so busy counting votes, they're going to count that vote.
Alrighty.
But I think the laws are saying, like, if they get the mail in after those days, then that mail's still going to get counted. I don't know if it's postmarked. I think it's just, like, because of snail mail delays.
Well,
because
federal and state governments can be different.
But they're already extending it. And that my point is that we may not know November 4th. Yeah. We may not know until mid-November who wins the presidential
election. That's crazy.
Really,
I mean, and that makes sense.
Year
and hopefully we have enough votes that it's to that point.
Yeah.
Honestly, right?
Yeah, I hope turnout goes way up.
Yeah.
Turnout's good.
Dude, you could even be on freaking, like, Instagram. Well, Instagram makes sense. Any of it. Yeah. Lyft, even the Lyft app.
Anything.
Vote. Go vote. Vote. Go vote. Like everyone's saying it. So.
So hopefully
it's a little bit bigger than it was last time.
The biggest spike that it's ever been.
Yeah.
Otherwise, oof, man.
Now, once again, I'll say silent majority is coming out, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting either way. It's going to be interesting.
I think it will. I just
if it's Trump that gets reelected, it's going to be interesting. If it's Biden that gets elected,
it's going to be interesting no matter what.
Right? I'm just like,
I have a question.
Because the time we're in, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys think it's a case of lesser evil?
No.
No.
Not the way I see policies. Now,
2016, as far that's how as, I viewed it. This time around, I've changed my mind.
Yeah, I'm not a guy. Whenever I look at, like, I wasn't in politics, really. I wasn't into it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't political. I didn't vote last time. I haven't voted ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This year, I kind of got into it because of, obviously, everything that's happening. And I have a freaking podcast now, so I guess I have to, right?
Yeah.
But
I dragged you into it.
I avoid looking at face value of everyone.
Yeah.
In politics.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's pretty clear that they are going to be salesmen. All of them. One way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter if they're freaking douchebags or what. I don't care. Yeah. I don't care who they are, honestly, as a person. Because every single one of them has a bad past, has something they can bring up.
You can, yeah.
Every single one of them. Mm-hmm. I don't care who it is. And they obviously, media can bring up whatever they want to and make stuff up, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at literal policies and I'll look at that and be like, do I like it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Done. Right? And then, of course, obviously, you say results. Results also matter.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why it's very hard to get rid of a president that's been in 4 years that's actually doing that might be doing something.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obama was in 8 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, dude. Whew, that was bad. But I'm just saying, because it's hard to have a president in 4 years and then get rid. It just is to get rid of him. It just is.
It takes a lot.
Takes
last
a lot.
Time it happened was H.W. Bush, and it was because Ross Perot ran and stole a there bunch of votes from him, and because Bill Clinton is Bill Clinton, probably one of the greatest politicians of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton is one of the greatest politicians of all time. You see what I'm saying? Bill Clinton. And we all know who he is. We're like, you're it's trash, like, right?
Rapist,
we all know he's who he is. And we're like, wow.
Yeah.
And he could win because of how he is. So I really don't care.
But then again, like, President Obama was like pretty squeaky clean. Like, he did coke like in college, but admitted to it in a book. You know what I mean? Like, he's
oh, I see what you're saying.
And Michelle Obama,
and then his policies, right?
That's
what did he actually do? Right?
Like,
that's all.
Super admire about them. Their whole family is like just the whole time they were in the White House. Before then, after then, they've been pretty squeaky clean. You know what I mean?
Well, I think they kept it that way. Like, I think they also didn't do a lot in the presidency because of that. Maybe they just wanted to skirt by and be normal. You know?
No, definitely not.
Oh.
Obama's one of the most like proactive presidents of all time.
Oh. Okay, there you go. But yeah, like I said, policy is really that's all I look at. So if they've done something that I like, as far as like how I view things morally or whatever, then that's good.
Mm-hmm.
In their actual action,
yeah, makes sense,
right? Mm-hmm. With just going versus side, I don't like doing that because it's been exploded.
Yeah,
but when we're talking about strictly policies, you know, like oh, we'll talk about abortion. Oh, we'll talk about Second Amendment. Oh, we'll talk about this. You know, if I believe one thing and I like that and that's how I want it to stay, that president does it. Sweet, I'm in. It just sucks because you have all the side projects that happen from it, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
exactly,
and of course, everyone agrees Trump needs to shut his mouth on Twitter, right? Everyone agrees that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I mean, that's it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you vote? Oh, you're asking me the question. I'll ask you.
You know, I would most likely. It's more of an ethical factor for me. So, what someone does and says plays a factor into it, I'd say.
So is it like exact opposite of me, or is it like you like to look at how do you view their past, you know, that kind of
their personality?
Past definitely plays a factor.
Okay.
Major factor, I'd say. Major factor for sure. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know how to put it. And it plays into the whole ethical thing I'm saying, just right versus wrong.
Right.
If I feel like this person's on the wrong side of history, then I'm most likely not going to support them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Mm. And so in that case, you're probably on the lesser of two evils thing.
I'd say, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I get that, and I see that too, because obviously, you know, the problem I run into is that we're running out of candidates that don't have
Yeah, the problem is nobody wants to go through the presidential
past process. Yeah, no one wants to do that.
Horrible.
Right.
It's grueling. It takes almost 2 years. It costs $1 billion.
Yeah.
And it's like they just trash your family for 2 years and you get to be yeah. overworked and
yeah.
die early. That's like, oh, I don't want
to
do that.
Who wants to do that, right? Yeah. You look at freaking like the gray hairs that pop up and crap. Oh, yeah. You know, they, it's intense.
Yeah. Obama started smoking again.
I don't think people, right? I don't think people.
No.
Why'd
I do this?
I don't think people will think about that. You know, put yourself in their shoes kind of thing. You know?
Kennedy, too, was in all sorts of physical and like mental anguish because of the pressure of the presidency.
Right. And like on a moral standpoint, I would say I agree with you. My problem with it politically is that it's hard to find a guy, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, okay, sure. If freaking Jesus walked up and said, I'm going to be a president, I'd be like, yeah, woo, my guy, right? Exactly. But like,
what's that world called? You know, the perfect world.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that's the way things would go. But sure. It's definitely not like that.
So maybe, you know, lesser two evils makes sense, I guess. But, I don't know. I've heard people like that are quote unquote centrist be like, I'm just not going to vote then. I'm like, dude, okay, maybe not, I guess. I don't know, but
yeah.
I can't say much either. Cause I was one of the guys, like, if you don't vote, I'm not going to yell at you. I do not, it's fine. You know, I don't think
you have the right not to vote, just like you have the right to vote. Mm-hmm. So.
I think we have so many people in America that I'm not sure it would matter anyway. And I also was on the side that was like, does the popular vote do anything? Not sure, you know? So
yeah.
Oof.
Big oof.
No, it was like, long story short, the popular vote doesn't mean anything.
Right.
We vote for congressional, Congress people, and then the Congress people vote for electors, and then the electors vote for president. So it's like we're like twice removed from.
Yeah, but there you go.
The electors quickly get discarded if they change their vote. Like three electors in Oregon voted for like Colin Powell. Maybe it was Washington in 2016. Mm-hmm. Like, yep, Colin Powell.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah, they were like, no, nah, you don't want to vote for Hillary or Trump? Like the two like major candidates?
Mm, yeah. So not if you even, go up there and say Joe Jorgensen, they're going to be like, no, get out of here.
Yeah, like McGinnis.
Oh my gosh, dude. Okay.
The Mormon guy.
Yeah, man. Well, hey, it's been fun. It's been real. Thanks for coming on, man. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, this has been awesome.
Thanks for having me.
This has been the Toasty Podcast with Michael. And like, share, subscribe. As always, please, I don't get this out unless you share it. That's the only way. The other thing I'll say is we have a Patreon. Patreon is where you can support us. It's $5 a month, and I get that. That's money. What that does is that helps me produce the show and talk to people that really matter.
Yeah, headphones aren't free.
So, with that said, stay toasty.